talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers. This is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta
cut you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making, and there was a lot of it made yesterday and overnight. Yesterday, the January 6th Commission aired 2 more hours of their deliberations, their findings, the evidence that they've acquired. And it was fascinating, and some people think it was even more consequential than the primetime 2 hours last week, even though that was shocking and consequential in and of itself. The testimony from police officer Carolyn Edwards, how she was hit on the head with a bike rack, head hit the pavement, unconscious. She was pepper sprayed. She was tear gassed, and she stood tall. But this one, there is no doubt in my mind, and there's no doubt, I think, in any reasonable person's mind after looking at this yesterday. Remember, there's 5 more of these sessions to go. Another one on Wednesday. There's no doubt in my mind that Donald Trump orchestrated all of this. He orchestrated the insurrection. He orchestrated the big lie. He orchestrated all the litigation and the refusal to accept the judgments in more than 60 cases, 60 cases around the country in many different states. The people that they talked to, that they interviewed on this, and if you haven't seen it, it's well worth your while going to YouTube, or I think you can go to C-SPAN and the website of C-SPAN and they'd have it too. Bill Stepien, campaign manager for Trump in 2020, he's campaign manager. He threw a little bit of a curveball yesterday into the proceedings. He was subpoenaed to show up and his wife was going into labor. So he asked for permission not to show up to be with his wife, and they said, of course. So they showed deposition testimony from him, videotaped, that was compelling beyond belief. And at some point, I'm looking forward to hearing from him directly outside of the deposition. But here's what he said. He said, basically, there were 2 teams in the White House on Election Day, and even leading up to Election Day, November of 2020. His was what was called the normal team. That's what the media branded it as, the normal team. The one headed by Rudy Giuliani was the not-so-normal team, or the abnormal team, or the not-normal team. Stepien is not a guy that normally I care much about. For instance, in Wyoming right now, he is the campaign consultant for the woman the Republicans have put up to run against Liz Cheney for the Wyoming congressional seat, Harriet Hagedorn. So I do not think much of him in that respect. However, he was flat out honest in these deposition, and he said that he told Trump many times not to declare victory on election night. He told Trump it looked very, very grim. He also told Trump there was not fraud. And he also told Trump, and Trump was not the only one, I should say, he was not the only one that Trump heard about this. He warned him about the red mirage. What's the red mirage? What's the red mirage? The red mirage is that the initial wave of votes on election day are usually counted first, and they tend to lean Republican. So if you're a Republican candidate and you see the same day voting, you start to think, I won this election. It's a mirage because most states, including Wisconsin, don't let you start counting absentee ballots that were cast a few days before, a week before. And that takes time to count during the day. And that skews Democratic normally. So the blue votes, the majority blue votes, starts to come in later. So any candidate, Republican or Democrat, is very advised to sit back and wait to see all of the votes counted. If it is very, very close, within 100 votes, 200 votes, you can say, okay, well, let's have a recount. Well, let's look at this a little harder. But when it's 10,000 votes, 100,000 votes, those kinds of elections are never overturned. Well, in this case, Trump saw the red mirage come in Arizona, for instance, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia. But most of the votes hadn't been counted. The absentee ballots hadn't been counted. So he immediately declared victory. And when later the election was certified for Joe Biden, he said that it was a fraud, that it was rigged. When the red mirage came in, he said that let's stop the counting right now. He wanted to order them to stop counting any other vote. In other words, any absentee ballot, even though absentee ballots are permitted by law. There was a fellow named Al Schmidt. He's a Republican city commissioner in Philadelphia. He stood tall. He's a Republican. He's a Republican. But he refused to take a dive to assist Trump, and he made sure the votes were counted fair and square. Ben Ginsburg. Ben Ginsburg is a well-known elections lawyer. He's a Republican. He represents Republicans. He is the guy that represented George W. Bush in the year 2000. Which, in my view, was a crooked election in and of itself in Florida. In Florida, Bush won by 500 some odd votes out of millions cast, and the U.S. Supreme Court stopped the recount because they were majority Republican. That was a crooked election. But you know something? Al Gore didn't pull a Trump when he could have and should have back then. He litigated, but when the courts, the Republicans on the U.S. Supreme Court, threw it to the Republican candidate, he said, well, he would accept that. He would accept that. Fellow testifying named Byung Pak, they call him BJ Pak, P-A-K. Very impressive guy. He's a former U.S. attorney in Georgia. He resigned when Trump threatened to fire him for not making false claims that somehow there was fraud in the election. And BJ Pak said, no way, no way, Jose, I'm not doing that. I'm a lawyer, I'm an ethical guy. Relentlessly for 2 hours in videotaped depositions and live testimony, these people testified. A guy named Chris Steyerwalt testified. He was the Fox News head of politics for that night. He called Arizona for Biden before anyone else, before CNN, before NBC, ABC, CBS. And he did it. And Biden won by about 10,000 votes. And Fox News under Chris Steyerwalt said, look, you're not going to overturn 10,000 votes. I mean, you can do a recount, you can go to court, blah, blah, blah. 10,000 in the history of the United States has never been overturned. And he called it. You know what happened to him? Fox fired him because Trump complained that he called it and that somehow he should not have called it. The most compelling witness was a guy, Crooked William Barr, who is one of my least favorite people, was untruthful throughout Trump's presidency. Lying about Mueller report, lying about the Ukraine impeachment. But in this one, I think to save himself, he told the truth and he told it in living technicolor. He said there was no fraud that affected this election. Trump underperformed virtually all Republican candidates, all of them in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Texas, Ohio, North Carolina, Nevada, Florida, Georgia. He underperformed state assembly candidates. He underperformed other statewide candidates. He underperformed Senate candidates, governor candidates. He underperformed. People didn't want him. Biden did run ahead of his ticket as a result. As a result, Biden ran ahead of the ticket. Head of the ticket. But the not normal team, the Giuliani team, and by the way, there was testimony from several people. Giuliani was intoxicated the night of the election. He was drunk as a skunk. And he prowled around the White House drunk, saying that there had been discrepancies between mail-in ballots and applications. He went on to say later that somehow Germany had altered the election, Italy, the Philippines, Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, until somebody pointed out that Hugo Chavez had been dead for 5 years. He was drunk, but then when he got sober, he kept saying the same thing. Fascinating 2 hours. There's no doubt in any reasonable person's mind that Trump was warned by many, many people, all Republicans, that what he was doing was crazy, was false, and he went ahead and did it anyway. A lot more to talk about. Going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter.
Go back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open. 844-967-2789. I'll tell you, the two-hour special yesterday, two very shocking things leaped out to me. And, of course, some of this we had known, but I suppose had put in the background or forgotten. One of them was Trump, there's no question in my mind, knew that he had not won and that he was lying. But he used it to fundraise off it. He set up a couple of committees, and he asked his supporters for millions of dollars to stop the steal. You know how much he raised? He raised $250 million. That's $250 million. This went to a phony election defense fund. He didn't spend beans on that. Beans on it. Of the $250 million, he raised $100 million alone the first week after the 2020 election. Let me give you an idea of where some of this went. There's a woman named Kimberly Guilfoyle, who is the girlfriend of Don Trump Jr. Now, she spoke at the Republican convention, and she's quite a character. She gave a speech sticking up for Trump that lasted 2.5 minutes. 2.5 minutes is 150 seconds. Guess how much she was paid out of the money that Trump ginned up from his supporters to stop the steal? $60,000. How would you like to make $60,000 for giving a 2.5 minute speech? And it was a ridiculous speech. We're not talking Abraham Lincoln here. We're not talking Demosthenes or Cicero here. We're talking Kimberly Guilfoyle. 2.5 minutes, 150 seconds, she gets $60,000 from people, many of these, or some of them anyway, small dollar contributions. This Stop the Steal business had several objectives when everybody knew it was false. There was a litany of Republicans. And I'm talking about Republican members of Congress. I'm talking about campaign staff, the campaign manager, the most well-known lawyer for Republicans, all told Trump contemporaneously he lost, he underperformed other Republican candidates. And that is because people didn't want him. People do not want Putin's servant in the White House. People don't want a crook in the White House. Well, what is his objective? One of them was to make money, a lot of money. Some of this money got steered to Trump business enterprises. Like I say, some of it got steered to his son's girlfriend, 60 grand. Let me tell you something about the law. You may think, oh, well, she has a high fee. She charged it. She gets it. There's a form slash substance aspect to law. You know, you can't just, for instance, have a lobbyist pay a politician $1 million to write a book. And he can go, well, you know, I just have a high fee. I want to write a book. At some point, that's a bribe. Very famous case in Wisconsin where a bunch of companies, suppliers, wanted to bribe the purchasing agent for a company, and they'd have a poker game once a month. And he would come, and they'd all come, and they'd all lose a lot of money to him. He'd bet, they'd fold, and they said, we were just playing poker, but no, they went to jail. There's a form substance thing. The substance of this is that they stole $60,000, Trump did, and his people, from hard-earned money given to him to stop the steal, and gave it to his son's girlfriend. Let's call a spade a spade. But the other thing, and this is something that had not occurred to me originally, but recently it has more and more, and is prompted by something that Miles Taylor said. Miles Taylor was a Trump official in the Department of Homeland Security, very high up. And he said that Trump incited the insurrection so he could declare martial law. Trump did not expect the insurrection would work, even though there were a couple of thousand people, some of them with military training, some of them with guns. They weren't realistically going to take over the Capitol. The whole idea was to create a public disturbance that looked terrible in the eyes of people in this country. And he would step in and say, I'm declaring martial law under a statute that goes back 200 years. It was most famously used by Ulysses Grant after the Civil War to go back into the South. And the Confederate Army had regrouped as the Ku Klux Klan and as Knight Riders who just murdered black people. And to put that down, to arrest them. And he had to shoot them in some cases. And restore order in the South. That's what it's for. It's not to overturn an election. And the plan was that Trump was going to say, I declare martial law. There's unrest. I'm going to stay in power for a while. We're going to redo the election. We're going to redo the election. And the next time, of course, he'd have people at the polls to intimidate voters. You know, this isn't Russia. This isn't Putin's Russia or Xi's China or Kim Jong-un's North Korea or Asia or Africa or South America. This is the United States. The incumbent loses an election. He lost Arizona by, what, 10,000 votes, Wisconsin by 20,000, Michigan by over 100,000, Georgia, I think, by 14,000. He lost these states. He lost the election. Biden got 7 million more votes than he did in the popular vote. Biden got 306 electoral votes to his, I think, 232, something like that. He lost. He's a whiner. But because he was still president in the lame duck session, he figured, okay, well, I'm going to shut this down and just call a new election, and I'm the commander in chief, and the military will obey me. Fortunately, that's not how it works in the United States. In our military academies, Annapolis, West Point, the Air Force Academy, the Coast Guard Academy, the Merchant Marine Academy, there is a very strong ethic of honesty and strong ethic of civilian control. and demurring to and deferring to civilian control. The military in our country will not simply go along with a coup to keep Putin's designated choice in power. This was a very dangerous period in American history. And that is what happened. That is what Trump did. Now, Fox News didn't broadcast it. Alone among the news networks, Fox News handles this thing by attacking it. Some prominent Republicans have chastised the Scott Jennings, advisor to Mitch McConnell, a Republican's Republican. He chastises Republicans who attacked the January 6th commission. They had a chance to put equal numbers of people on it, and Kevin McCarthy chose not to. We're all Americans, and we can gather around one thing. We're not going to have a coup. Came close. It ain't going to happen again. Doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. Going to break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there's a development in the Wisconsin gubernatorial race that has a potentially very big impact on the health and the future of the University of Wisconsin system. And I want to get into that right now. This is important. And I'm going to tell you what I think the result will be. Two Republican candidates, Kevin Nicholson and the Duchess of Foxconn, Rebecca Clayfish, just announced that if they get into office, they will replace all of Evers' appointees who are unconfirmed. And they will put on Republican hacks, will continue the degradation of the University of Wisconsin system. Now, what does this mean, all that were not confirmed? Here's the deal. There are 18 members of the Board of Regents. Some are there just, they're not appointed by anybody. They're there by virtue of their position. For instance, the Superintendent of Public Instruction is on there. And that is as it should be. But what happened is that Evers has made 11 appointments to the Board of Regents, and the State Senate has not confirmed 9 of them, just like the DNR. Remember the DNR, the Fred Prenn is there? Fred Prenn apparently loves to drink Forever Chemicals. Well, no, I don't think he does. He probably doesn't like to drink them, but he's going to make sure other people drink them because the manufacturers want him to. He's illegitimate, and he's still serving on the DNR board because the Republicans won't even get together to confirm Evers' appointment replacing him. Prenn's appointment expired a long time ago. Well, same with the regents. So Evers appoints 11, 9 of them have not been confirmed. Now, if you're not confirmed, the legal status is new governor comes in, he can yank you because you weren't confirmed and put his own people in. And of course, a gerrymandered, illegitimate state legislature would confirm anything that a Republican did. The whole idea is that these people have 7-year terms and they're staggered. And so you keep experience, and it's designed over these staggered 7 years, just have a few expire each year. So you keep institutional memory, you keep experience, but you have turnover. But what happens when an illegitimate legislature refuses to confirm the Democratic appointments and replaces 9 of them immediately if they get into office? And that's what they're proposing. Not only are they saying that, but here's some of the other things they've said. Nicholson said he wants to appoint people who will basically look only at reducing the cost and time of a degree and, quote, removing intellectual poison. Now, well, that's what Stalin said when he went in. I want to remove intellectual poison. Poison's in the eye of the beholder. Liberal arts are poison to Nicholson. Literature is poison to Nicholson. Philosophy is poison. I suppose English literature, every literature, history is poison to Nicholson. Social sciences are poison to Nicholson. I had a businessman in Milwaukee tell me, I know pretty well, and he's an educated guy, basically a good guy, and he didn't think that there should be anything on the curriculum other than things like the hard sciences. Clayfish said something similar, maybe worse. She said, our university should exclusively focus on what the workforce needs are of our employers, or the Wisconsin Association of Manufacturers. Simply train people to be good workers. She said that she wants to get rid of liberal ideology and concentrate only on the desires of Wisconsin employers, in particular the manufacturers. They attacked the hiring of the new chancellor of the UW. And this is somebody with high credentials who is voted in unanimously, including by Republicans, by Walker appointees. And the Duchess of Foxconn attacked her and said, attacked her, quote, woke CRT vaccine mandating history in California. stringing together as adjectives, various words, and making them adjectives. CRT has to do with what's called critical race theory. It originated back in the 80s, and some scholars have written about it, basically said that racial issues imbue all of our history. Many people think it's overstated. There are many historians who don't agree with it. It's not taught anywhere to undergraduates. Certainly not in grade school, not in high school, in college. I suppose theoretically you could take a course. It'd be interesting. What's this all about, CRT? But vaccine mandating, anybody in his right mind gets vaccinated. And attacking her woke vaccine mandating history. Then they say California, which is like she came from Transylvania, like she's a vampire or something. Here's the good news. The Duchess of Foxconn is not going to be governor. She's not even going to be nominated. And Nicholson is an outlier. He was a Democrat. He was the head of the Young Democrats nationally, college Dems. And then he spoke at the Democratic National Convention, attacked Republicans, just like he's attacking Democrats now, same language. And then he flipped over. So what he's done, he's not going to get Schneider. I don't know if you play Sheepshead. I like playing Sheepshead. He's not going to get Schneider. Probably be no trick. Guys, bad news. The Duchess, the reason I say she's not going to get it, obviously Rampton's not going to get it, because this Michaels who's come along has spent a lot of his own money. And word that I have from people I know in Washington County say his signs are all over the place, and Trump endorsed him, he has a good chance of winning the primary. Now, I have no idea if he would work to destroy the University of Wisconsin like the other two. The University of Wisconsin has been ranked, the Madison campus, as one of the top 34 universities in the world. All the United States, all of Europe, all of Japan, all of Russia, all of China, all of Latin America, everywhere. It's one of the public Ivies, along with Michigan and Berkeley. And under Scott Walker, who I think was driven by internal weasels, got in touch with his inner weasels and rage, because he did not have a degree, and it wasn't because he couldn't afford it. He attacks higher education. The Duchess of Foxconn does. They say, well, it should just be training for the workforce. UWM. I'm on the board of visitors of UWM, one of the great universities. It's It's called a Tier 1 university. There's only 130 of them in the country out of thousands. Does original research. You can't, if you're in the Milwaukee area, southeastern Wisconsin, or anywhere, you can't get a better education. Superb faculty. My father was on the faculty there for 34 years. You get there, you get a free bus pass as a student. Go anywhere in Milwaukee. Take courses with world-class faculty and get a world-class degree. And all of the other campuses, University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, has had several Rhodes Scholars out of it. La Crosse, where my nephew went. Oshkosh, where my secretary's grandson went. Whitewater. All of them. Oh, and Sam. Sam went to Whitewater. Sam, let's hear it for Whitewater. Good, wonderful school. These Republicans will destroy this university. We're going to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Gene?
Good morning, Matt. Great show as usual. I say that this has been the biggest crime of the century perpetuated on the people in our country. It also has been going on for quite a while on the people in the state of Wisconsin. And it's all driven by big money. It's all driven by greed and also a way to keep the people down. You know, we saw Walker come in and assault our higher education institutions and try to break them down back then. And in fact, as you know, I've been following, and luckily I've been able to listen to Madison and Milwaukee, your radio station, for many years. And I was seeing it on my side of the state, but nobody was talking about it. And I could follow the lies and innuendos and the propaganda that would start. Remember when they were going to take over our public radio, Walker was. You know, they were going to take away where their studio was. It was, you know, just unbelievable, in your face, taking over our institutions and destroying them. And, but this thing was Trump, you know, Walker spinning in the chair and utilizing the same thing, running down our friends, Mexico and, you know, and Canada, and going after them, but going after education. Because if people don't have education, they don't know how to research. You know, and a lot of people do not know how to look for positive sources or, you know, the truth. They don't know how to do it. And then the thing that bothers me the most is I'm watching, you know, the hearings, and God dang it, everybody, you do yourself a favor and pay attention. You're not getting my comments. You're not getting Fox's comments, you're not getting anybody's comments. You're using your own brain to see what the devil has been pulled on you. And anyway, so, you know, Matt, this just frustrates the heck out of me, the way that they got away with this, and now it's coming out, you know, in plain view. I mean, they aided and abetted these people around Trump, not the ones that told him the truth there, but still, they aided and abetted all the way along with what they pulled on Ukraine. And, you know, when he was impeached, those people around him knew he did that. And then they watched him commit the biggest crime of all against, you know, the people's vote, and a try to take over of our government. And it's just...
No, you're right, Gene. Thank you so much. We're going to a break, Gene. I love your passion, as always. Always welcome to call in. Love your point of view. You nailed it on the head. The Republicans will use a coup to overturn an election. They will destroy the University of Wisconsin. You are drinking cancer water right now. Wake up. Really wake up and think for yourself. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Joe of Madison, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Joe?
Matt, thank you so much for focusing on the university around the state, particularly Madison and Milwaukee, but around the state. I think it's really, really critical that we, when we look at what a university provides, it's a place where a lot of basic research happens. So when you were talking about jobs that might be in, a professor of English, for example, or romance languages might be in trouble at the university, I would argue that without a tenure system, that those in the hard sciences, such as study of limnology, would be in bleak trouble. For example, a Republican governor doesn't like to hear that PFAS might be contaminating a lake and says picks up the phone and says, get rid of that particular professor. What kind of protections do they have except for the tenure system that says you keep looking at basic research, you keep doing the work of science, which is garnering the information, looking at the data, making doing the research projects that test your hypothesis again and again and again, and we're never at the truth completely. We just keep searching for it. And I think that it's so sad that people don't realize what this gem of a university system is. It creates tons of money for us. And I'm not just talking about the jobs. I'm talking about the grant system throughout the university that it supports all sorts of programs. I would hearken back to, you know, the whole space sciences program at the University of Wisconsin, which now has satellite systems around the world, and it pulls in all of this information about weather and weather patterns, which is absolutely critical to industries such as agriculture, but also to our military. This came about because one guy at the university here, a professor, said, gee, I wonder if we can use this new thing of low satellites to see how it might help university or Wisconsin farmers. From there has come this one guy having this question, has come this whole industry. We don't know what the jobs of the future are. And I think somebody, a Republican candidate who thinks that they do know, is fooling themselves. We don't know what the future is going to bring. Who would have predicted the internet? Who would have predicted all sorts of things that exist now? You have universities as a place where people do basic research, and From there, things emerge. And I would argue that it isn't even just in hard sciences. For example, the whole world of video game industry. It's bigger than the film industry now. It's a worldwide industry. And that industry doesn't get around unless you have people who are talented in the whole world of the arts, you know, storytelling, myth-telling, creating long story arcs that are engaging to people. That's the kind of stuff that you get out of an English degree. So anyway, I can't thank you enough for highlighting what the university system brings to us. It's rich. We're lucky to have it. And I remember that Republican Tommy Thompson just adored the university system and was always there at any opening anywhere. Thanks, Matt.
Right. Thank you, Joe, and thank you for emphasizing it. And I want to get deep into what you just said. You know, the Republican Party at one point, there was a guy named Warren Knowles, who was the governor of Wisconsin back in the late 60s, early 70s. And he had a brother, I forget his brother's first name, but his brother, I think, was a state senator. And he was also the president of the Wisconsin Alumni Association. There was a time when Republicans proudly wore their red jackets and went to alumni events. And it was Scott Walker who started to tear that down. And the Duchess of Foxconn, Rebecca Clayfish, is going along with it. So is Nicholson. Now, what you said, there are two arguments for university. One of them is exactly much of what you said is the more utilitarian argument. There, for instance, in 1896, the New York Times published an editorial, if you'll believe this, that said that everything that has been discovered in the field of physics has been discovered. Everything else will just be an adjustment or improvement. This is before Einstein. This is before quantum mechanics. This is before computers. I mean, people who think that we have all the information we need are wrong, and there is a utilitarian aspect to it. For instance, applied science and EPIC would never have started in Madison if it hadn't been for a great university there, period, end of story. There are new jobs all the time being created. Now, but there's another aspect of a university. It's really the heart, soul, and brain of a society. The first academy was Plato and Aristotle back 2,300 years ago. Then you had the great universities in Europe and Paris and London. You had Oxford and Cambridge and the Sorbonne that goes back to, I think, the 13th century. And here's the thing. It's not just people who study computers. I want people to get PhDs in Latin and Greek. I want them to get PhDs in Spanish, French, and Italian and write their dissertation about Molière, about Cervantes. I want this kind of stuff. I want people who get PhDs in history, in philosophy, because the fact is that an educated citizenry, an educated state, is dependent on its universities. The concept of the Republicans is a trade school. When I was in the Navy, they would say, okay, here's some of your orders. Go to a three-week school on RPS custodian. That's the primitive cryptology we had back then, or navigation. They had three-week schools, two-week schools, 12-week schools. There was an 18-month school in North Dakota for nuclear engineers. But it was very utilitarian and absolutely essential. But I went into the Navy after having had a liberal college education, and I was glad I did that. It has nothing to do with money. None of my grandparents went to college. My mom didn't go to college. What they did is they saved and they encouraged their kids to get as much education as they could. This anti-intellectual, anti-university attitude in the Republican Party is very, very recent in American history. And it is dead wrong. And if somebody like Clayfish or Nicholson get in, or even Michaels for that matter, because he hasn't said boo about this, he got Trump's endorsement. If any of these people get in, you'll see the continued degradation of the University of Wisconsin. And the University of Wisconsin is a jewel. The faculty at Madison and the grad students could go anywhere, any university. The faculty and some of the grad students at UWM could go anywhere. And the same is true of Eau Claire, La Crosse, Whitewater, Oshkosh, Stevens Point. Stevens Point, because of pressure from the Republicans from Walker, was going to get rid of liberal arts. They finally backtracked, but here in Milwaukee, the liberal arts, especially languages, for instance, French, German, Italian, you know, really diminished. The economics department has been stripped of a lot of professorships. The Republican Party will eat their seed corn. They can't be trusted with money. They can't be trusted with a modern state. They will destroy the soul, the heart, and the mind of Wisconsin, which is his university. And the Wisconsin idea, the university, the boundaries of the University of Wisconsin are the boundaries of the state. In fact, they're the boundaries of the United States, the boundaries of the world. Internationally respected. When I was in law school in 1972, the state provided about 48% of the operating revenue of the University of Wisconsin. Now it's 17%. In Colorado, it's about 8%. People continue to take money from the university. And on the utilitarian side, as you mentioned, UW-Madison at one time was the third best university of getting federal grants, $350 million. Now, it may not even be in the top 10 because of attacks by Walker and Clayfish, but it's still up there. Do you know what that kind of grant money does? You're a utilitarian. You only care about that out there. Okay. That spawns incredible numbers of jobs and innovation. But the heart, soul, and mind also needs philosophy, literature, history, and the social sciences. Going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.